God's. When one repents, receives the Holy Spirit, and is baptized and receives the Holy Spirit, accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they become a part of the body of Christ. And God, Jesus Christ, talks about in Colossians that the body, the church. So when we're talking about the church, we're talking about those who are actually a part of the body of Christ. I want to pursue today, as I said, last time Victor Kubik, and he did not intend, I'm not necessarily sure he intended for people to give part two to his sermon, but he talked about the strategic plan of the United Church of God, that group of people who have association or membership in the United Church of God, and talked about why, how it is that we're going about doing what Christ commands the church to do, and that is feeding the flock and preaching the gospel. And I thought it was it's interesting. This material is all available online. Today, I want to follow up with part two and discuss another part of that, if I can get my computer to cooperate here. Matthew 28 and verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." It wasn't an exclusive thing. It was to anyone that you can reach. Thank you, sir. And it says, "Then when you have gone to them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Of course, then baptism brings you into the body of Christ. And then he says to the disciples and passed on, he said, teaching them, and so there's a teaching aspect, and the church is required to teach, to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teach those things that are in the scripture, in God's word, the commanded in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're all his commands. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so this command is to God's people throughout the history, to the disciples here that he's talking to, all through history, even to the end of the age. So it'll be done right up to the return of Jesus Christ when he personally takes over the job that he's given us to do. Part two essentially consists of what are those things that Jesus Christ told us to preach. What is the mission of the church? The mission of the church is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and commanding us to follow his word and direction. Now, chances are that you've all gone through the fundamental beliefs of the Church of God. And if you've been around for the church for any length of time, this essentially was the same things that, if you attended Worldwide Church of God years ago, were taught. And that when you were called and your mind was open, you came in believing. And then there were people for various reasons split off from the Worldwide Church of God and taught these same essential truths. And if you've been around the Church of God in whatever group you've been a part of, these are the essential things that are taught in the scripture, is why they're the fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God now. So these will not be strange to you, but I thought it might be helpful to just go through, and if, let's say you're talking to a friend or a coworker, and they say, what do you believe? What does the Church of God believe? This is it. There's a booklet, The Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God. You can go on to our members.ucg.org website, and you can download the official constitution of the United Church of God. This is basically the constitution of the United Church of God, and again, it will be the constitution of any one of the groups who are a part of the body of Christ. I'll read, first of all, in this Constitution of the United Church of God. It says, God the Father calls whom he chooses. He leads them to submit to Jesus Christ. These individuals who accept that calling and who receive the Holy Spirit comprise the Church of God, just as we've been talking about. God the Father has made known to the church his family through Jesus Christ, his intention and purpose from the creation or for the creation. We do therefore establish this constitution so that we might, as obedient children, yield to him and to see his will for the creation fulfilled. God created mankind with a purpose. We look into the scripture and find out, what is that purpose? Why are we here? Why is mankind here? And then why did he create a church? So this is 1.0 Article 1 mission statement. It says, the mission of the Church of God is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in all the world, to make disciples in all nations, to care for those disciples. I'm not going to turn to, I don't think, any scriptures in this section, but all of these are strictly based upon the scripture, as I think you will recognize as we go through these things. So the preamble, 2.1. Now this is under fundamental beliefs, which is Article 2. It says, the following are statements regarding the fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God and International Association. This article is not intended to be a comprehensive statement of the beliefs of the church. Questions about doctrine and belief will be addressed by a process adopted by the Council of Elders and approved by the General Conference of Elders. We have a Conference of Elders of we have a Council of Elders consisting of 12 men, and then the General Conference of Elders is all of those who are ordained in the ministry. Fundamental beliefs, number one. Now, it's what we're doing with our youth studies this year is beginning with the fundamental beliefs so that the parents, the children, everyone are in tune with these fundamental beliefs. And we start with number one. And were you giving a youth lesson today, I think? So Dixie was taken off on that. 2.1.1. Those of you that have been around for a while, Herbert Armstrong many years ago, looking into the scripture, came up with what he called the basic truths, and essentially have been carried down because they're so. Number one, we believe in one God, the Father, eternally existing, who is a spirit, a personal being of supreme intelligence, knowledge, love, justice, power, and authority. He, through Jesus Christ, is a creator of the heavens and earth and all that's in them. So as we go through these, listen to what is said as a fundamental belief of the Church of God. If you have any questions as to their validity or whatever, please discuss them, because this is what we believe. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the Word and has eternally existed. We believe that he's the Messiah, the Christ, the divine Son of the living God, conceived of the Holy Spirit and born in the human flesh of the Virgin Mary. The Holy Spirit is the power of God and the Spirit of life eternal. The Spirit is not a third entity in a Trinity. And we reject the concept of a Trinity because the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's the essence that he is made of and that comes from him, and that he gives to those to whom those that submit to him. 2.1.2, we believe that the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, is God's revelation and his complete... Oh, let me make that a little easier. There you go. You can see that. We're on Word of God. That's number two there. We believe that Scripture, both Old and New Testament, is God's revelation and his complete expressed will to humanity. Scripture is inspired through, in thought and word, infallible in the original writings, is supreme and final authority in faith and life. We base our beliefs on the Scripture. Said in it, the Bible is the foundation of all truth. 2.1.3, the next one, we believe that Satan is a spirit being who is the adversary of God and the children of God. Satan has deceived humanity into rejecting God and his law. Now, some of the reason I'm going through this is because on occasion you'll hear, and I'll address some of this a bit later, you'll hear criticisms and say, the United Church of God is doing away with the law. Or the United Church of God is going to Sunday. You know, and that's what Worldwide Church of God actually did. And so people get gun-shy and say, oh, somebody's trying to do that again. Now, as you keep this in mind, as we read these things, these are fundamental beliefs that all ministers must agree to before they are ministers in the United Church of God. Members are taught these things, and so it's important to think as we go along here. Let's say you hear the United Church of God is doing away with the law. Okay, you're going to have to do away with these fundamental beliefs if you really believe that. Okay, and one thing is that Satan has deceived the whole world into rejecting God and his law. The fourth one, we believe that humanity was created in the image of God with the potential to become children of God, partakers of the divine nature. And so God's purpose is to bring us into his kingdom as children, born into his family. As we believe that God placed before Adam and Eve the choice of eternal life through obedience to God or death through sin. Number five, we believe that sin is the transgression of the law. The law is spiritual, perfect, holy, just, and good. And you recognize that as a quote from Scripture in Romans. The law defines God's love. Oh, we're just talking about love. You bet. Okay. I guarantee we're going to talk about love. The law defines God's love based on the two great principles of love toward God and love toward neighbor, and it is immutable and binding. You talk about love, you are talking about the law. You talk about the law, you are talking about love. They're inseparable when it's from God's perspective. Now, people separate them sometimes, but not from God's perspective. It says the Ten Commandments are the 10 points of God's law of love. We believe that breaking any one point of the law brings upon a person the penalty of death. Any one of the Ten Commandments, you break them, you get the death penalty. Now, we can get out from under that death penalty, and that's a part of our belief system too, we'll talk about. We believe that this fundamental spiritual law reveals the only way to true life, and the only possible way to happiness, peace, and joy. All unhappiness, misery, anguish, and woe have come from transgressing God's law. That is our belief as the body of Christ. Number six, we believe that God so loved this world of helpless sinners that he gave his only begotten Son, who through all points was tempted as we are, lived without sin in the human flesh. But the Son, Jesus Christ, died as a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. There is no other name under heaven whereby one must be saved. And so you must understand about who Jesus Christ was and what he did and what he expects of us. In paying this penalty, he has made it possible, according to God's plan, for each person and humanity as a whole to have their sins forgiven and to be released from the death penalty. And so that is one thing that is fundamental to our understanding and belief, that unless you do repent of breaking God's law, unless you accept him as your personal savior, you will receive the eternal death penalty. Number seven, we believe that the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead after his body lay 3 days and three nights in the grave, thus making immortality possible for mortal man. He therefore thereafter ascended to heaven, where he is now at the right hand of God the Father as our high priest and advocate. Number eight, we believe that all who truly repent of their sins in full surrender and willing obedience to God, who by faith accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior have their sins forgiven by an act of divine grace. Do we preach grace? Absolutely. Without grace, there is no salvation. Now, do we believe in grace without works? Absolutely not. There is both. Not one or the other can give you access to God's mercy and salvation. Both give you access to that. Such individuals are justified, they're pardoned from the penalty of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which literally abides within them and supplies the divine love that it alone can fulfill in the law and produce righteousness. They're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, which is the true church of God. Now, you'll hear us talking about the United Church of God is the true church of God. It is not the true church of God, but it is the true church of God, as others who are part of the body of Christ are part of the true church of God. You don't want to be part of the false church of God or the fake church of God. You want to be a part of the true church of God. And if you have God's Holy Spirit, indeed, you are a part of the true church of God. It's not defined as the United Church of God. It's defined as the church of God. We believe in a true change in life and attitude, and only those who have the indwelling presence of and are being led by the Holy Spirit are Christ. Again, just basically it's just quoting Scripture without the Scripture written down. Number 9, we believe in the ordinance of water baptism by immersion following repentance. Through the laying on of hands with prayer, the believer receives the Holy Spirit and becomes a part of the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Again, according to Scripture, and laying on of hands is one of the basic doctrines in Hebrews chapter 6. I hope you've not come across anything you disagree with at this point. Number 10, we believe that the seventh day of the week is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. On this day, we're commanded to rest from our labors and worship God, following the teachings and example of Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church. And again, people say, United's doing away with the Sabbath. But United couldn't do away with the Sabbath, even if we wanted to, because it's eternal. Okay. Some people might personally reject it or whatever, but they're not a part of the body of Christ when they do. Number 11, we believe in observing the New Testament Passover on the night of the 14th of Abib, the anniversary of the death of our Savior. 12, we believe in the commanded observance of the 7 annual holy days given to ancient Israel by God and kept by Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the New Testament church. These holy days reveal God's plan of salvation. He always went to the feast to hear about God's plan of salvation for mankind, to bring them into his family. And so the feast days are actually prophecies about God's plan. 13, we believe those meats that are designated to be unclean by God in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, so I'm quoting Scripture now, are not to be eaten. 14, we believe that Christians are forbidden by the commandments of God from taking human life, directly or indirectly, and that bearing arms is contrary to this fundamental belief. Therefore, we believe Christians should not voluntarily become engaged in military service. 15, we believe in God's enduring righteousness, that righteousness is demonstrated by God's faithfulness in fulfilling the promise that he made to the father of the faithful Abraham. And it goes on talking about Abraham's promises that were given that extended to nations, having to do with who Israel is today. And it says, and we believe that God, through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, is making salvation available to all humanity, regardless of their personal lineage, either Jew or Greek, male or female. We believe that the knowledge that God has fulfilled and continues to fulfill the physical promises made to Abraham and his children and is fulfilling the spiritual promise through Jesus Christ is critical to understanding the message of the prophets and its application to the world in which we live. In other words, when God gave promises to Abraham, to Israel, that they were given blessings, and those nations have been blessed, and they include such nations as the United States and Canada and Australia and others, and that when you look at prophecies, you can identify prophecy based upon some of these concepts. 16, we believe God's purpose for mankind is to prepare those whom he calls and who elect through a life of overcoming sin, developing righteous character and growing in grace and knowledge, possess the kingdom and to become kings and priests, reigning with Christ on this earth at his return. He's called the church, he's called people so that we can go through trials and tests and grow, so that we can learn spiritual things and grow, so we can draw closer to him, think like he does, and then be able to help him and assist him in the coming kingdom. We believe that the reason for mankind's existence is literally to be born as spirit beings into the family of God. We possess God's spirit at baptism and laying on of hands, and will become literal spirit beings to be like him when Christ returns. 17, we believe that the church is the body of believers who have received and are being led by the Holy Spirit. The true church of God is a spiritual organism. Its biblical name is the Church of God. We believe that the mission of the church is to preach the gospel of the coming kingdom of God to all nations and witness and help reconcile to God such people as are now being called. You can't call them. We can make things available. Only God can call when that truth is made available. We believe it's also the mission of the Church of God to strengthen, edify, and nurture the children of God in the love and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Mr. Kubik talked about on this first section about what is the work of the church is, how are we going about doing what has just been said, the things that were commanded by Jesus Christ. 18, we believe in tithing as a way of honoring God with our substance and as a means of serving him in preaching the gospel, the care of God's church, attending the festivals and helping the needy. 19, we believe that the only hope of eternal life is for mortal humans lies in the resurrection through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We believe that at the return of Jesus Christ, a resurrection to spirit life will take place for all who have been God's faithful servants. We believe that after Jesus Christ has ruled on earth for 1,000 years, there will be a resurrection to physical life for the vast majority of people who have ever lived. Again, to me, that's one of the most powerful understandings that we have, is what really happens to people that have never heard or understood or have their minds open to who God is and what his purpose is that last great day resurrection. We believe these people, that after these people have had an opportunity to live physical life, if they become converted, they too will receive eternal life. We also believe that those who reject God's offer for salvation will reap eternal death. And finally, we believe in the personal, visible, premillennial return of Jesus Christ to rule the nation on earth as King of Kings, to continue his priestly office as Lord of Lords. At that time, he'll sit on the throne of David. During his 1,000-year reign on the earth, he will restore all things and establish the kingdom of God forever. So I've given you the essence of what the Church of God is about, specifically the Constitution of the United Church of God. And so when Mr. Kubik talks about what is the purpose of the church, what is the work of the church, those are the things that we are promoting and attempting to get out to the world. So there are many ways that we, as the United Church of God, preach the gospel, and you can go, there are others who are doing the same basic work. There are nuances to it. There are the different governmental structure or whatever, but those who are part of the body of Christ are about doing these things and preaching the real Jesus, the true Jesus Christ. And there are false Christs. Some of the things that we teach, we talk about the fact that there are demons, especially at this time of year. Some of you have had some experience with this. This is, why must we avoid Halloween? This is on our United Church of God website. And again, you can go to Living Church of God Philadelphia and, you know, whatever. You'll find basically the same truths talked about. Here's another one on Beyond Today Television. Is Halloween only a cultural event? We just dress up and it's no big deal. No problem. You know, I don't dress as a demon, so it's okay. And things that talk about that and assess, well, what is God's will for us? Does God want us to get as close to the world as possible? On this website, I just got this yesterday on our websites. And of course, it was Halloween yesterday, so that's why the Halloween things. A sermon from Roy Holiday says, seek God with all your heart. So you can go and you can hear a sermon about seeking God with all your heart. As we see the end time approaching, the day of Christ coming, what should we be doing? Seeking God with all our heart, right? It's prophecies. I'll say this. One of the men in another congregation that I pastor was giving a split sermon, and he was saying that we don't hear much about the world tomorrow anymore. You know, I did not appreciate the sermon, and I'm addressing that, but he said we don't hear much about prophecy anymore. So, well, we used to talk about prophecy, but the church doesn't talk about prophecy anymore. And frankly, that hurts a bit. Because for one thing, it's not true. And I don't know what rock you have to hide under not to see what the work of the church is. If you hear a rumor about something about the United Church of God, we've got the great search engine. And this will be, if you go to ucg.org, and there's this little box up there that says search. So if you want to believe, not to know if the United Church of God is doing these things, well, let's plug in a few things. You can search Beyond Today. Now, he said you don't hear much about the world tomorrow anymore. Well, it used to be the world tomorrow. Reverend Armstrong preaching the plain truth about, you know, and now you find Beyond Today, Tomorrow's World. What are some of the other, all of the churches have some form of the world tomorrow. Basically means the same thing. Ours is Beyond Today. You hit Beyond Today, you'll find 7,570 results that talk about Beyond Today, which by implication is the world tomorrow. And some of them be on duplicate articles or sermons or broadcasts or whatever. Search the millennium, 1,740 results that you can find. And if you're wondering whether we preach about the world tomorrow, just start going through some of the results that you'll find on our, this is all on our webpage. The kingdom of God, 12,900 references to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about the world tomorrow. When Jesus Christ talked about it, he says, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? And then he'll give things that apply to our everyday lives that point us to the kingdom of God. He was preaching about the world tomorrow. So, okay, do we preach about the kingdom of God? He tells us to go out teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Jesus Christ talked often about the kingdom of God. He said, we don't talk much about prophecy anymore. I just plugged in Isaiah. And although probably not every scripture in Isaiah is talking about prophecy, probably most of them are. I did not look all these up, by the way. I don't have enough time. 5,400 results. You can read about Isaiah alone. Again, my guess is most of them dealing with prophecy. Revelation, 12,200 results. You can go to our sermons. This talks about sermons. It talks about articles, booklets, Beyond Today program, or whatever is available. And so you want to see if we believe in prophecy? If we preach much about prophecy anymore, just start going through those. You plug in the word prophecy, 24,800 results in our web pages and material. Enough to probably keep you busy for a little while. And so if you say, we don't hear much about prophecy anymore, you're looking in the wrong places. We have, as one of our, this is a free Bible study produced by United Church of God, and I just took a sampling of one of the literally thousands of things that are out there. The introduction of this is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God is the message Jesus Christ instructs his followers to believe. Preach all things I have commanded you. So we preach the kingdom of God. Romans 10 verse 14 says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, they got to hear about it in order to call on him, right? In order to have the truth preached and to be able to be baptized. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How is the world going to hear about the truth of God? Well, we believe if we're fulfilling God's will for us and Christ's demand that we make it available. Only God can call. We can't, as you know, you can't force it down anybody's throat, nor would God want you to. But we believe that it's made available, and I think the United Church of God and others of those who are working to preach the gospel are getting that word out there. We have our Kingdom of God seminars. Some of you have attended those. They haven't been smashing successes in bringing thousands of people into the church. But we're doing what we can, and it's out there. And if God chooses to bring somebody through that, at least we've helped make it available. That is the world tomorrow. That is prophecy. These were just from yesterday. If you went to the United Church of God website, some of these are what was flashing across the moving logos. Will the temple be built in Jerusalem? Prophecy, right? 666 and you. Beyond today program. Prophecy. What is Germany's destiny? Read the article. Prophecy. The book of Revelation unveiled at last. Well, not at last, that was the worldwide, but the book of Revelation unveiled. A free Bible study, aid produced by United Church of God. Last night, before I went to sleep, I got on my Roku and went to Beyond Today program, and they had that. I watched that one about the horses of four horses of the apocalypse, and you can get it all over. United States and Britain in prophecy. Abraham's promises. Are we living in the time of the end? You can understand Bible prophecy. These are all things that are out there. And again, it hurts a little bit. And somebody says, we don't hear much about prophecy anymore. Go to our search engine, and you can come up with a few more things. People say, well, they're doing away with the commandments. Now, all I got to say, I don't think you've read or heard what we really teach. If you plug in commandments, just that word, 11,600 results. Okay, that doesn't keep you busy. Plug in the Sabbath, 12,600 results. And I'll guarantee you go to every one of those words relating to the Sabbath, not one of them is going to say that the Sabbath is not necessary. If you find that, report it. And it will not be there the following day. Okay? If some rogue happens to give a sermon and said the Sabbath is not necessary, it'll be gone. I guarantee that. Plug in the word love. Oh, they're just talking about love. Yep. This one, love with a, you know, love, loved, loves with a little asterisk. 112,000 results. Oh, talking a lot more about love than they are the commandments and the Sabbath. I see where this is going. I'm serious. I wish I weren't serious about. Too much focus on love. We're just becoming a warm and fuzzy church. These are some of the rumors that go around. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and plug in your little search engine on your Bible program. Plug in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is primarily Jesus' words, although they wouldn't all be Jesus' words. I didn't take the time to go into that. And you'll find the word commandments used 27 times. And they're important to God. If you love me, keep my commandments is one of those, okay? You hear the word forgive 45 times. Now, they have various contexts with forgiveness, but I think we'll recognize that most of those contexts have to do with if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. How many times should I forgive my brother? 70 times 7. Okay, so the word forgive is very liberal there. Commandments, absolutely. Okay? Because you talk about forgiveness does not mean you do away with the commandments, right? It means because you've broken the commandments, you need forgiveness. Love, 92 times. Ooh, he talks a whole lot more about love than he does the commandments. But on the other hand, this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. And so they're inseparable. But how do you love, or how do you keep the commandments? You love God and you love your neighbor. What does that mean? It's the true meaning of what he means by the commandments. It's not just a set of, okay, here's the Sabbath day, and I've given you 455 rules on how you keep the Sabbath. And they accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath because they didn't adhere to their specific rules. But then when we talk about love, that really shows us how to love God. And so, yeah. We preach a lot about love. Fill in the blanks on this one. By this shall all men know you are my disciples. You know the answer to that one, don't you? That one scares me a bit. Because when we fall short, it's most often in this area. We're keeping the Sabbath. We're keeping the holy days. We're doing all those things we should. We tithe. But we fall short on that. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you love one another. And it's not just loving one another in the United Church of God. You know, I love having the folks here that are from another part of the body of Christ. We should, we must. It even says love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? You know, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. If you love one another, and particularly within the body, we'd better do so. He who does not know God. Do you know the Lord? Yeah, I know the Lord. He who does not love does not know the Lord, for God is love. Is there too much focus on love? No, not at all. Not enough, actually. But love does not do away with the commandments. Love shows how the commandments are to be fulfilled. Again, rumor, they're doing away with the law. United Church of God is going to Sunday. Their leadership wants to change the doctrines. You know, in the United Church of God, and I can't speak for the other organizations that have these same beliefs and so forth, but because we were burned with worldwide where we came from, something was set up so that, frankly, you hear United Church of God is going to Sunday, it will not happen. Now, can Satan get to us in other ways? Yes, he can. And yes, he does. Satan is going to try to get us away from God's way in one way or the other. And so we've had problems because Satan's got to us another way. But let me show you a few things regarding the United Church of God. For one, again, somebody says they're doing away with the law or the Sabbath. Well, I'm going to go to the Ten Commandments book and read it. The book Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest. God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All Mankind. These are our fundamental booklets. Holidays are holy days. What does it mean? Or does it matter which we observe? What does the Bible teach about tithing? Here's from Vertical Thought, which is one of our magazines, primarily to younger people. Vantage Point, Halloween, calling evil good. So we talk about that. Got things, tattoos. This teen Bible study will lead you to discover the biblical principles that apply to tattooing one's body. You know, we get deeper into the principles of the Word of God, not just the basics. Modesty. Are you modest in the sight of God and man? A lot of things that we teach regarding the biblical principles. So they're doing away with the law. UCG is going to Sunday. And literally, these are some of the things that have been accusations. Okay, now. Here's the ministerial code of ethics. Now, if somebody departs from this, then they can no longer be a part of the United Church of God. And you'll find the same principles in the other churches of God. As a minister of Jesus Christ, this is what, if you're going to be a minister in United, it says, as minister of Jesus Christ, I accept the calling bestowed on me through ordination by prayer and laying on of hands. I'm dedicated first and foremost to preserving my personal relationship with God. That's first. It's not loyalty to an organization or a man in the organization. Your first duty is your personal relationship with God. Therefore, I am committed to basing my life on the foundation and authority of the Word of God. You don't do that, you're out. I'm resolved to conduct myself in the ministry according to the ethical principles set forth in the Bible, such as those in Timothy, Titus, Peter, and other scriptures incorporated in this code of ethics, so that my service in the ministry will be acceptable to God and will be a Christ-like example to all. And then, serving as a minister of Jesus Christ as an elder in the United Church of God and International Association, I fully accept and agree to abide by the following ethical principles. And then there are several pages. I'll go to the end. Under ministerial responsibilities. It says, I will endeavor to honor the church's ministry, especially those with whom I directly serve as co-workers in the work of God, respecting their roles and cooperating with them. Now, frankly, we haven't done real well with this over the last couple of years, which is why this was emphasized again. It says, I'll endeavor at all times and in all forums, public and private, to promote an atmosphere of respect for church leadership and their decisions, to support openness and unity within United Church of God. Ah, well, there's your loyalty oath to the church and to men, and not God, right? Wrong. Okay, what does it say? It says to respect those with whom I work. Any of you have requirements like that where you work? I mean, every place you work says that's what you're to do. Whether you receive that or not is another issue, you know. But and to support your endeavor at all times in forums, public and private, to promote an atmosphere of respect for church leadership and their decisions. The people for whom you work, unless you're self-employed, have similar requirements. That you don't work for a Chevrolet dealership and then insist on driving your Ford into their showroom and trying to sell Fords when you work for them, right? And besides, there's a basic principle. 1 Peter 2:17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. That's a requirement in the scriptures to show respect for everyone, particularly the people you work with and for. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Sometimes your situation at work is not going to be, you know, always just happy and great, but there's still this respect that needs to be shown in the work, that attitude of cooperation. And within the church, it's the same. So it's not a loyalty oath to a person over God. In fact, We go on. It says, I'll endeavor to work within the church's governing structure to seek any possible desired change. So let's say Randy decides, I really think we need to keep Christmas this year. You know, and so, you know, Albuquerque group, you know, it's just, it'd be nice, you know, be able to set up a tree and then we can bring people into Jesus, you know, by having Christmas this year. So do you think that's a good idea? You know, and chances are it would be thrown out before I got past the first line, which would be good. But let's say I decided that's what we want to do. Okay, that would be a change in doctrine. And I could not do that or else I'd be thrown out. Okay, and if it was the president of the church that said he wanted to do that, he would be thrown out. You've got to work within the desired structure, and I'll talk a little about working within the structure, or work within the structure for the desired change. In verse number 4 there, oh, I wonder what else I got cut off. You can't see that. Sorry. Number 4, so there under 3, says, I will uphold the Constitution, fundamental beliefs, bylaws, and rules of association. Okay, in other words, I will uphold the Constitution and fundamental beliefs as those 20 things we went over. Put God's law first. Put God's word first. And if I depart from any of those things, I lose my credentials. I lose my job and everything else, and only rightly so. So when it talks about, you talk about somebody changing the Sabbath, it's set up where it literally can't be done. Now, okay, you can read part of that. Now, if I say, okay, I want to start keeping Christmas. Okay, now what I would have to do, it says proposed amendments to the governing documents of the church and the corporation shall require the approval of the General Conference of Elders. And if there, you know, there are some of the bylaws and some of those things Mr. Kubik was talking about last time of you know, how things are structured, how things are done. A change on any of those things takes 2/3 majority. In other words, of all the ministry in the United Church of God, you've got to have 2 out of 3 have to approve any of those changes. And we have a ballot on that, and that's what we do at our conference. It says the exception to this is the article respecting the fundamental beliefs of the church. Now, you take any of those things we talked about earlier, those 20 things we went over, if there is a person who wants to change any of those, it says, which may not be amended by less than 3/4 majority in the General Conference. So what would happen if I said, okay, I think we need to start keeping Christmas. And kids, by the way, I'm not saying that. It's not happening. Okay, so don't get freaking and say, minister's talking about Christmas. But so I would have to submit a doctrinal paper that gives justification for me wanting to keep Christmas. And I would submit that to Steve Newtzman, who happens to be my regional director here in this area. Okay, then he would go through that and he'd say, Randy, you're off base. Here's why. Here's the scriptures why this can't happen. Okay, but if I convinced him, you know, and said, oh, Steve, I think we ought to do this. Steve says, oh, yeah, well, that's a good idea. And so he then submits it to the doctrinal committee of the Council of Elders. And these guys, or as a doctrinal committee, review that, and they say, excuse me? What, are you nuts? They go through that, and they just reject it out of hand because it's totally away from the fundamental beliefs that we have. But let's say the doctrinal committee says, okay, well, you know, Randy's got something there. I think we need to keep Christmas. Then they submit it before all of the ministry in, it's got to get past the council, the 12 council of elders. Then they submit it to all of the ministry in the United Church of God, and 3 out of 4 have to approve it. Now, if you think that's going to happen, you're not paying attention. Okay, so I mean, it's set up where that will not happen. You're not going to do away with the Sabbath. You're not going to go to Sunday and all these foolish things that people talk about. And yes, it did happen with Worldwide. I know that. This is set up where that's not going to happen. Again, should we be careful of other things where Satan is going to try to get to us and cause division, cause dissension? Absolutely, he is. He does. And we individually have to resist that. As the ministry, we have to resist that and learn lessons where we've made mistakes. Okay, but that's what we should be doing. So, anyway, if you hear rumors, go to the sources, go look it up. Bottom line is, if you love God and his word, if you love God's commandments, if they mean something to you, if you're excited about the coming kingdom of God and going through any given work week, I think we get excited about the kingdom of God. If you want to share the gift that God has given you of the knowledge and understanding of the truth of God, and making it available to other people, if you're seeking God's grace, seeking forgiveness for when we sin, make mistakes, if you love mercy, if you love and desire to serve the brethren, the United Church of God is a place that can help you on your journey to the kingdom of God. It's not the only place, and it may be that some other place is more suited to your temperament or whatever, and that's fine. But the United Church of God is a place that can help you in whatever way we can on the journey to the kingdom of God.